wounds. The 29th Regiment, of which he was a part, suffered an 82% casualty rate that day and basically passed out of existence. Had he lived, in this book, it was written in 2000. That was pretty insightful 2 years later. Well, this story and so many others beg the question, what price will you pay for freedom? What price do we honor the sacrifice paid by others for our freedom today and tomorrow? You'll notice on some of the photos that we shared, those of us who wore the uniform for a long time, we have this thing. It does kind of bother us, I'll just say it. It's not National Barbecue Day. It's a day for us to remember those who paid an ultimate sacrifice and changed the world in doing that so that you and I can have the freedoms to enjoy. And it used to be that families would go and decorate graves, which is wonderful, and I think we should. But no longer do we have the parades, no longer do we have a whole day of celebration. The best the veterans I work with are asking for right now is this. At 3 o'clock, would you pause tomorrow and thank the Lord for the sacrifices that people have made and remember their families? We can't get everybody to show up at the cemetery. We can't get the praise to happen. But maybe at 3 o'clock, we could set a little alarm on our wonderful telephones that goes, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to reflect, and I'm going to remember. Now, everything we've talked about has yet to touch what this book talks about. Because if we believe that the transformational things that happened in the story of history, where the ripples of battle have so changed the world that it has altered the world we live in, how much more did the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ change forever the cosmic promise of hope and salvation, because Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for us to be saved regardless of what else would happen. As Christians, we believe this idea of a significant action that changed the world. We believe in that because we know that's what happened. Jesus Christ totally changed the world because he offered himself as a gift to us and open the door of heaven that all may go in. So I've been asking myself two questions, and I won't belabor the point, but I want to say two things. What price did Jesus Christ pay for you? And secondly, what price would you pay for him? So those are the two things. We'll just kind of take them as they come. Number one, what price did Jesus pay for us? And I looked and I said, man, there's so much in here. We're going to hop, skip, and jump. I mean, where's that nice little nugget of that cool thing that we can just kind of grab hold of? And we're gonna bounce a little bit. But the question is this. You come back to what Jesus did for us. You come back to the Lord's Supper. What did Jesus do for us? Luke chapter 22, verse 19. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the first thing that Jesus did for us is he gave us his body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by this we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We were talking in the Sunday school today how Jesus appeared to the disciples. And we talked about it with John's gospel as well. How do you know he sacrificed himself for us? He said, here, put your hand in the brokenness of my hands. Put your hand in the rips and the tears of my body. I gave myself for you. And you can even go back to Isaiah. He himself bore our sickness. He carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our iniquities, punishment for our peace on him. And because of him, we are healed by his wounds. This is my body, broken for you. You know why it matters that we bring a body back from Okinawa and we bury it in a small place, in a quiet place of honor with the family? Because our people stood up and took a bullet for us. Secondly, he shed his blood for us. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Hebrews chapter 9. He entered the holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood obtained eternal salvation for us. Again, Hebrews 13, therefore Jesus also suffered outside the gate that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. And I acknowledge we haven't had the Lord's Supper maybe as often as we ought. We've had a lot of changes. But we gather around this table in our worship, and we acknowledge that he gave himself for us to the point that he shed his own blood to blot out our sin. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how else to say it. If I took a piece of paper and I wrote all over my piece of paper and then I took an eraser, I could never erase or undo all of the stuff that I've done wrong on my record. Okay? And what the Bible says is he doesn't have a big eraser. It says he blots out our sin. The way that you make that happen is you take a knife and you cut your own skin and you draw the blood that blots out or covers over. It doesn't undo what happened. He covers it with his own blood. What price did Jesus pay for us? He offered his body. He shed his blood. He gave it all on the cross. And it, that action, was the salvation and the atonement, the covering over, the reconciling. That is what blotted out our sin, and we no longer carry that on our shoulders. He died for us. I don't think we'll ever get tired of that. I don't think we're ever going to realize that, oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter very, very much. But that leads us then to that second question. What are we willing to sacrifice for him? If he was willing to lay down his life on the cross for us, What is expected of us? Or in a much localer, in a much later moment in time, if our friends and neighbors are willing to lay down their life for us, I mean, Jesus said it plainly, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. If we would take the time out of our world to honor what sacrifices have been made, what price would we pay for him? And it boils down to, again, two subpoints. The first one is to pay the price of discipleship. And so here's where I'm just going out of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is talking in the Corinthian letter, and he says, y'all are playing around with your faith. You all in your church, you think it's all right to just go off and commit immorality. You see, the body's for food, the body's for sex. Go have a good time. You're supposed to be happy. God made you to fit into this world, so go have a good time. And Paul is saying, you are wasting your life with piddly little unimportant things. He says, God gave you your body not for you to be selfish about it, but to use your body in a way that blesses other people. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. It's permissible, but I'm not going to let the body control me. I'm going to make sure I control my body to do the things that are important. And this is where kind of the message starts to me. He says, don't you know, let me find it here. Don't you know that if you join your body to a prostitute, the two of you become one flesh? How's that honoring to the Lord? Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside of their body. But when you are sexually immoral, you sin against yourself. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You were bought with a price. So pay the price of honoring God with your life. Turn the page, chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Let each of you remain in the situation you were called. If you were called a slave, well, be a slave. Just don't waste your service to the kingdom. If you become free, well, take advantage of the opportunity, because if you're called by the Lord as a slave, you're the Lord's free man. Likewise, if you were free, use your freedom. Once again, you were bought with a price. So don't become a slave to the little things. You read a few pages over, chapter 9. Paul is just telling them over and over, you know, this guy, Peter, he has a wife and he leads about a wife. I don't have a wife, but I'm serving the Lord in this way. Quit picking on each other. Quit arguing about the little things. Use your life in such a way that you don't fight as a shadow boxer. Run to win. Don't waste the life you have. Don't waste the gift of freedom to do the things you ought to do and not the selfish things you want to do. Jesus, through Paul, is asking us to live a purposeful life in the flesh, to so discipline our life, to so organize our life in such a way that we are truly witnesses of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are building his kingdom and not dinking around, wasting our time until we go to before the Lord and go, what did you do? How many of us no people who would have given anything to have 24 hours extra. 3 months of extra opportunity. And we all act like, well, what really matters is our new iPhone. Boy, I hope I get the new model. While people enter eternity without knowing Jesus because we were busy. Or it was extra work. Ouch. So he's asking us to pay the price of obedience, the price of discipleship, the price of managing our lives in such a way that we organize who we are based on the message of this gospel, that nothing else is more important than that for the way we can use our life as long as we have life and breath. The second thing he asks us to do is to serve others like Jesus did. He had the power of God, but he chose not to grasp hold of that. He let go of all of that, and he humbled himself to become a servant, even to the point of death, even to the point of dying on a cross. But he knew that his obedience would make a way to heaven for everybody who would name his name. Whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. John 15:13, nobody has greater love than this but to lay down his life for his friend. Paul in Timothy, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not living for this moment or this life alone. I'm living for eternity, and I will pay whatever price it takes to let other people hear and know about Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, you were called to do this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Oh, my friends, this isn't a whoop on anybody time. It is a plea for us to say, oh my goodness, Memorial Day is one of those times when we need to stop and remember what other people have done on our behalf. And while we may not understand all the ripples of battle that have changed this, we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ changed all the universe because of his willingness to lay down his life for us. He paid the price for us. What a small thing it is for us to do, but to live as though his calling is the greatest thing in all the world. And in a small way, I honor my fellow veteran friends to say, I was proud to stand by you. You guys have still, those young people that I worked with since 9/11, it was all volunteer. I have actually been a part of the current military that those young men and women had no idea what life was like before 9/11. But they, to a person, raised their right hand and said, we will defend our nation. We will stand in the way of freedom. We'll do something about that. Oh my goodness, what great and wonderful people they are. And every generation has had to learn again the price of discipleship. I limit myself for the sake of the mission, and I'm willing to pay the price, even if it costs me everything I've got. There's a fellow by the name of Webster Anderson who died in 2003. He was of the generation of the Korea veterans, and he was called to service again in Vietnam. He was an African American soldier who, when his unit was attacked as an artillery guy in North Vietnamese area, he was wounded in both legs. And he couldn't walk anymore, and so there he is. They propped him up, and he was at the front. And he took his arm and he batted away a hand grenade, and he took away the danger that was coming in as the enemy was getting close. When he hit that grenade went off. And before that day was done, he lost both legs and the arm that deflected that hand grenade. He also was entrusted by Congress as the bearer of the Medal of Honor, the highest honor that's available. And so can you imagine, you know, wearing this, but he has no legs and he has one arm. There's a story a few years back of a fellow who worked with him and would help him travel. He was an officer, and he went to a school in Oklahoma. One day he's at a school assembly in Oklahoma. A student asked him, if you knew what it would cost you to serve our country, would you do that again? Think about it. If you knew what it was going to cost you to obey and support our nation, would you do it again? And Webster Anderson said, "Kid, I only have one arm left, but if my country can have it anytime it wants it." And as much as I admire and respect that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take that level and go a level higher, because Jesus said, you don't have to necessarily be walking wounded, but you need to take up your cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. You know, I wondered, was there another way? I mean, isn't that what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, is there any other way? Is there any way around the cross to accomplish your will and change the world? And the answer was no. There was no. And Jesus said, okay, here am I. And I wish there was ways in wars, but I wish in the church, I wish there was discipleship that says, is there any other way? Don't we ask her that? Isn't there a way, instead of telling somebody that their life isn't what God wants it to be? Is there any other way? Can we just do good deeds? Or do we have to go to Calvary too? But Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's no other way. There's no other way. He went to the cross and he made the way to salvation. And what he asks of us, follow him, to give him our life, to be willing to let go, to use the life that we've given. It's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me, gave himself for me. And so we close. What price will you pay? The old hymn says it good. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee. Remember, you're all today. He drew me closer through his tide. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my Savior, my Lord, my King, wherever he leads. Lord, we're talking on Sundays about obeying your will. We've talked about how you made a way of salvation, how you've given us the opportunity to grow spiritually and to serve others in your name and in your honor. And we've kind of run a parallel message today that talks about the high calling of service and the price that we must all be ready to pay. On Memorial Day weekend, we remember the sacrifice that others made. And Lord, so many did that because they love freedom, not because they love Christ. How can we offer a sacrifice to you that is less than what people would do who don't know you? And so we end with that wonderful hymn, "Wherever you lead, we'll go. Whatever you ask of us, whatever price we are called upon to pay, whether we live long or not very, it doesn't matter, because we're obedient to you and faithful to your highest calling far beyond the work of a nation. We're building the kingdom of heaven on earth." I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just speak to each one today. They've listened so well and carefully. I pray in these moments of just the quietness that we would reexamine our hearts and ask, are we wasting time or using time well as good stewards of the eternal life that you've given each one of us? Thank you for each one here, Lord. We walk with you, and we wish to be obedient to you alone. We pray it all in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Join me, everybody said together. Amen. This was a little heavy. Kinda, huh? Boy, y'all been real still and real quiet.